feet of Saint John the Apostle and the Evangelist. The first reading from the letter of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Beloved, what were from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we looked up on and touched with our hands, concern the word of life. For the light was made visible. We have seen it and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was made visible to us. What we have seen and heard we proclaim now to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. For our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing this so that our joy may be complete. The Gospel from St. John, chapter 20, verses 1a and 2 to 8. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we do not know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloth there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloth there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloth, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. Sharing. Saint John the Apostle witnessed for Christ. Man asks it to ask for a purpose. Saint John the Evangelist clearly declared his purpose in writing the four Gospels, working in order for people to believe in Christ. And because of their faith in Christ, they shall inherit the eternal life. John chapter 20, verse 31. The purpose is also the purpose why he witnessed for Christ in the first reading. That is, to have fellowship with people, and people have fellowship with God. In the Gospel, when he saw the empty tomb, the beloved disciple confessed, "He saw and believed." Alleluia, the first reading. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you. Third point. Christ exists from the beginning. If we compare the first verse of the four Gospels with the first verse of the first letter of John, we shall understand his intention when he mentioned in the beginning. He wanted to begin not at the moment of Jesus' presence in this world, but at his original presence. Second point, John witnessed for Christ as follows. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. John the Evangelist used verbs to hear, to see, to look upon, and to touch. At the present perfect, to witness for Christ. In order for a witness to be effective, a preacher needs to have all of the experiences. First, which we have heard. The faithful one to hear, not human wisdom, nor a preacher's personal opinion, but God's word. Like prophets, a preacher must first listen to God, then communicate God's word to his congregation. Second, what we have seen with our eyes. There is a faithful, after have heard the sermon, said to the priest, "You preach to us today as you have seen God." Of course, a preacher can see Christ in the flesh as St. John, but he can see him with the eyes of faith. Third point, which we have looked up on. What is the difference between the two verbs, to see and to look up on? The verb to see in Greek is horon, indicate a physical seeing, for example, to see an object. But the verb to contemplate in Greek is theatai, require no longer time to recognize the essence of an object. When talk about God's glory, John also used this verb. We have beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. See John chapter 1, verse 14. 4. Which we have touched. Meditating the reason why John wrote the words was to oppose the heresy of docetism. Those who believed Christ didn't have a real human body. In order to have an effective preaching, a preacher needs to have a real experience in order to understand things he self preach and to sympathize with his audience's problem. Third point, the purpose of witnessing. St. John gave us two reasons for his witness. That which we have seen and heard we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And we are writing this that our joy may be complete. First, to have fellowship with God and with one another. When St. John preached the good news, either by preaching or by writing, he always had a purpose to have fellowship with his audience and to lead them to God. Second, in order our joy may be complete. Joy is the core of good news. If a preacher only brings bad news and cause despair in his audience, that are not right good news. Of course, he must preach the truth to wake up his audience conscience and to push them to repentance. But when they confess their sin, they must feel the joy of being forgiven and their reconciliation to God. The gospel, he saw and believed. Today passage began the good news of the resurrection according to John. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter then came out with the other disciple, and they went toward the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloth lying there, but he did not go in. There are two important questions related to this passage. First, who is the beloved disciple. There are six times the author used the expression, the beloved disciple. But who is this beloved disciple? There are two main opinions. First, he is John the Apostle. Since the author didn't want to name himself or due to his humility, he used this expression to imply himself. John was one of the three disciples most close to Christ. The other two were Peter and James, his brother. This is the hypothesis which has more weight. Second, it can be any disciple who is loved by Jesus. Some say this is an image of a perfect Christian who had a close relationship with Jesus in the Last Supper and his death, and were the first to recognize Jesus after his death. Second point. Why did the beloved disciple let Peter to enter the tomb first? There are also two ways of explanation. First, because Peter was the leader of the apostle, the action of the beloved disciple, though he came to the tomb first, but didn't enter because he respected Peter's authority. This hypothesis doesn't have a good core because there were no passage which talk about the authority in John's Gospel. Moreover, many times Peter didn't recognize Jesus immediately, but the beloved disciple must first tell him. Second, because the summit of this passage is the beloved disciple believed right resurrected. As it written, then the other disciple who raised the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. There are some who think this is the author's style of writing. He wants to end his mass passage by the beloved disciple confession, so he led Peter to come first. Moreover, the author also wanted to send an advice to his audience. Those who love Christ more shall run faster and easily to recognize him than those who love him lesser. See John chapter 21, verse 7. Application in life. We have a duty to witness for Christ by preaching the good news and a life of witness. The purpose of witness is to have fellowship with others and to lead them to Christ in faith. In order for our preaching to be effective, we need to have a strong and firm faith in Christ through listening, seeing, contemplating, and experiencing Him in our life. Amen.